Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Just for the webcast, it's Tuesday, the 9th of June 2015. The topic today is living in love. Living in love. I really believe that it's possible for us to live in love. I think it's been a challenge for many of us to get to that place where we feel it's a possibility, but I really believe that what Paul says in Ephesians about us being rooted and grounded or planted in love is a real reality for each one of us. Because I believe that Jesus lived his whole life in the Father's love. And he is just the firstborn of many, many sons, of which we're part. And if he lived in love and he showed us the way and he opened the way, then it's possible for each one of us to live in love too. And sometimes I think we see it as a really huge challenge, or maybe it feels a bit like an impossibility to actually live in love. But to me, I think the reality of what this means is growing within me. And I believe it's something that Father wants to grow within each one of us, that we it's not something we learn to do, it's not a formula, but it comes out of a relationship with Father, that the more he pours his love into our hearts, the more our lives can be rooted and grounded and rooted and established in love, and that love can become the hallmark of who we are. One of the a very well-known passage that many of us will know is just a few verses from the middle of Lamentations chapter 3. And I just want to start with these words, because it's a passage that all of us know, and it's a passage, it's a couple of verses that we take a lot of comfort and encouragement from. And Lamentations 3, 21, 25 says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." And that's probably for most of us the only couple of verses or so that we know from Lamentations. But if we read the rest of the book, if we read the beginning, if we read the first 20 verses of chapter 3 even, what the writer is describing is he's actually describing what most of our days look like. The first 20 verses or so of Lamentations chapter 3, the guy is describing a bad day. He got out of bed on the wrong side, or he may not be having a bad day, he may be having a bad week or a bad month or a bad year, but this guy is suffering. He is having a hard time. Things are not going well. Everything's going wrong. There's a real struggle on in his life. Things are being thrown against him, and he's just struggling with everything. And when I read those verses, it reminds me of what our lives look like so often. That we have days, we have weeks, we have months where everything is thrown at us, and it feels like nothing is going right, everything's going wrong. Everything's a struggle, and things are just are just difficult all round. And the writer of the Lamentations, he's describing his own life, he's describing his own circumstances, but it mirrors so well what so many of us go through so much of the time. But yet he gets to this place where he says, I remember something, and I have hope. And what he remembers in that time of desperation is he remembers the Father's great love, the Father's great compassion. And he reminds himself that this love is eternal and everlasting, and it never, never lets us down. And, you know, it's the same for us. We can become overwhelmed by life and its circumstances, you know, finances, health, the pain and wounds in our heart, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, maybe even we get to the stage of doubting, you know, the Father's love or even his presence with us. But we can come back to this promise that because of his great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, it's just a wonderfully, wonderfully encouraging passage that lifts us up and reminds us again that God's love is constant for each one of us. And my encouragement today is whatever today's like, whatever this season is like, is come to that place where you remind yourself and where you fall back on the Father's great love for you. See, just as the writer of Lamentations remembered the Lord's great love, you know, so we have to keep reminding ourselves that God's love is constant, God's love is sure, God's love will never, ever fail. And as we, you know, as we remind ourselves of that, we're drawn back to that place of his love. And we're drawn back into the security of knowing that he's loving us. See, in John's first letter, John 1 John 4 verse 16, he says, "We know and we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." One of the translations says, "We've come to know and rely on the love that God has for us." And these two little words, knowing and relying, they're not theoretical words. They're not words that we receive in our minds. They are experiential words that we receive in our heart. We know the love of God because we've experienced it. We rely on the love of God because we've experienced it. You know, these are not concepts. You know, they don't belong in our heads. They belong in our hearts. And they're words that bring life and strength to us. You know, I think, you know, sometimes we read some of these verses and they lodge in our mind. But I want us to read these verses and allow them to feed our hearts, so that we can read that each one of us, you know, my prayer is that each one of us would know, because we know that we know that we know, and we rely because we've relied and relied and relied on his love, and that these words would feed our hearts, that you know, we could drink of these words, and they would give us strength and sustain us. Because our Father is totally, totally reliable. You know, he doesn't just love us when we're having a good day. He loves us all of the time. You know, if we're going through a difficult season or a hard season, he is loving us just as much in that time as he is when everything's going really well. Because his love is so constant. And, you know, I want to bring us back to those words being words that speak to our heart, that we know because we've experienced his love. We know about his love because we've received it into our hearts. We rely on it because we've learned to depend on it and trust that he is always faithful, that he is always, always loving, and that he will never, never let us go. See, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about us bearing fruit, and fruit that will last, and abundant fruit. And this is in the context of the Father pouring his love into our hearts and us receiving his love and knowing that we're no longer orphans, but we're sons and daughters. And, you know, Jesus says that, you know, his word will abide in us, and that will cause fruit to grow within our lives. And it goes on to say in John chapter 15 that his joy will be in us and our joy will be made complete. And for me, this is this is one of the important things of living in love, is that as we live in love, our lives will become fruitful. You see, as we depend and as we rely on the love that the Father has for us, as we can continually experience the love that the Father has for us, that will cause our lives to be fruitful. It will cause us to bear forth fruit that will last. See, many of us think we have to struggle to be fruitful. And, you know, we strive and we work hard and we do see some fruit. We do see that what we give ourselves to is fruitful. But, you know, the question is, does that fruit last? And, you know, quite often many of us will say, well, actually, no, it doesn't, because it's been something we've been doing out of our own strength. But when we live in love, and when the love of the Father is filling our hearts, and when we are being transformed by the power of his love, that living and abiding in love will cause permanent lasting fruit to grow up in our lives. And not only will we be fruitful, but we will have his joy filling our hearts, and our joy will therefore be made complete. You know, I believe that even in times of difficulty and struggle, it's possible for us to have the joy of the Lord inside of us, because his joy is not dependent on the circumstances that we face. His joy, the joy that he puts in our hearts, is simply because of our connection and our relationship with him, that we're relying on our good Father. We're trusting on our Heavenly Father to work things out, and therefore we can rest in him, and that gives us a whole measure of joy that it's impossible to experience when we're working things out on our own. You see, we may face difficult things, we may walk through difficult struggles, but we can still know his presence and his joy filling each one of us. And this, to me, is one of the major hallmarks, if you like, of what it looks like when we live in love, when we constantly come back to that place of knowing and relying on his love, allowing his love to fill our hearts. It produces this fruit and joy within us that is, I think the only word to describe it is supernatural. And it's something I long for much, much more. At the end of John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for us just before he goes off to the crucifixion and to his physical death on the cross. And his very last words before he's taken away are in a prayer that is a prayer that he prays for you and me. And this is what he says. He says, I have given them the revelation of who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. See, there Jesus is describing to us this intimate relationship that we are drawn into with the Father. That, you know, Jesus is saying to us, Jesus is praying, he's thanking his Father that we can experience the same love as Jesus experiences. The same endless love that Jesus lives in, we can live in. And, you know, I just think this is wonderful, because this is the love of the Father from eternity to eternity. That even before the creation of the world, the Son, Jesus, lived in this perfect expression of love. And all the way through eternity, Jesus lived in this expression of love. When he came to earth as a man, he lived in this perfect expression of love. And then he went back to his Father and is now seated at his Father's right hand, living once again in this perfect, endless expression of perfect, wonderful love. And Jesus says that experience that he has, we too can have. You know, what he experiences is ours. And that's not something that we earn or we get given as a prize. That's our right and our inheritance to live in is to be drawn into this relationship with the Father. It's part of our inheritance as sons and daughters to live like Jesus. And, you know, he wants each one of us to know and experience this endless love. You know, and it's not rationed, it's not limited in any way, but it's the total and perfect expression of everything that is love, that you and I can be rooted and grounded and planted in, so that this endless love that Jesus lived in, we too can live in, and it will affect everything that we do. It will affect every part of our lives. In John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus says, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you've loved me before the foundation of the world." See, Jesus is just drawing us into that intimate place, close to the Father's heart. I think in John chapter 1, in one of the translations, it says that Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. And, you know, Jesus has gone back to the bosom of the Father. And he says, "Father, I want these people, I want these, my brothers and sisters, to be where I am." And so Jesus is praying and just calling on the Father, saying, "Father, I know where I live. I know where my home is." You know, he knows his home is next to the Father's heart. And he says, "Father, I want all your other children, all your other sons and daughters to know and experience that their home is in the bosom of the Father." See, this is not a reward for good living, but this is the freedom of relationship with the Father. And as we live in love, John writes in 1 John chapter 4, as we live in love and as we experience this love, what we will do is we will begin to love one another. And it's as we love one another that his love is perfected in us. It's like it's the completion of his love. It fills us, it changes us, it transforms us, and then it overflows to the people around us. You know, it's not conditional. You know, God loving us is not conditional on how we love other people, but it's just the automatic overflow. You know, it's not like the more I love you, the more God will love me. That's not the way it works. It's the more I receive his love, the more I am filled with his love, then it can't help but overflow and flood the world around me. You know, we don't seek love in order to give it away. We seek love, we pursue love in order to receive it for ourselves. And that's what makes us complete. And that's once, you know, our heart is healed so much, it just begins to overflow. It just can't help it. And it's just this amazing sense of the Father's love bringing completeness and wholeness into our hearts. And, you know, I encourage you to pursue his love, to keep saying, "Father, will you pour your love into my heart? Will you fill me with your love? Will you transform my life with your love?" Because, you know, the more we seek it, the more we will become rooted and grounded in love, the more we will live in love, and love will become the very source of everything we do and everything we are. You know, as we live in love, as we're planted in love, it brings us back to God's, the Father's, original intention for us. You know, he never desired for us to live in broken relationship with him. His original and his only plan has always been that we would live as sons and daughters. And you know, we know the story of what went wrong in the garden and how the human heart was affected and so on. We've covered that a number of times on the webcast. But you know, God's original and only plan was that we would live as sons and daughters. And through Jesus, he's redeemed us and made a way for us to come back to that place where we can enjoy the same relationship as Adam did before the fall. We can enjoy the same relationship as Jesus has enjoyed for all of eternity. And that changes everything. You know, one of the big things we struggle with is fear. And I've come to realize that fear is the opposite of love. And many of us have struggled to overcome our fears. We've tried to discipline our mind, we've tried to think the right things, we've tried to do the right things, but yet fear has been such a motivating part of our life. But 1 John 4, 18 says, "Perfect love casts out fear." And the more love fills us, the more we live in love, the more we will overcome the fears that so often disable us and cripple us in such a very, very real way. Because fear and love just cannot live together. And as love comes in, fear has to go out. It's just the way it works, because they just can't coexist. And fear is one of the big battles that we have, one of the big struggles we face. And the more we live in love, the more fear will go. You know, just look at your own life. Fear of finance, fear of where's the money coming from? How am I going to earn enough for myself? How am I going to earn enough for the family? You know, it's a big fear in many people's hearts. Fear of their job. What's going to happen with their job situation? How's it going to work out? Is it going to last? Are they going to be made redundant? What's going to happen? Fear of health. You know, what's going to happen to my health? Am I going to become, you know, unable to look after myself in the future? What will happen to me when I'm old? You know, and all these fears grab hold of us. And then there's the fear of, will I ever overcome some of the struggles in my life? Will I always be like this? And you know, fear can just grab hold of us and cripple us and disable us. But yet, as Father pours his love into our hearts, that causes a transformation and everything changes so that the fear goes and we live in this place of security and dependence, simply knowing that our Father is good and has good things for us. And whatever life throws at us, whatever comes our way, we can have that childlike dependence of relaxing and resting in the Father's arms. And the more, you know, living in love is a massive key. It's the only key to seeing the fear in our heart being dealt with. You know, there's a lovely passage in Exodus 33, where Moses is. God's told Moses to lead the people, you know, out of Egypt across the wilderness and into the promised land. And you know, he's given him this mandate and said, go to Pharaoh and you know, get the people out and take them to the promised land. And Moses says to God, and I think I probably would have said the same, you know, this is a big job, you know, who's coming with me? And you know, Moses says, okay, God, I'll do it, but I need someone to come with me. And then he says to God, he says, and if I'm going to do this for you, I need you to teach me your ways. And you know, what he's basically saying to God is he wants a help manual. You know, yeah, I'll do the job you've given me to do, but I need the book. I need the help manual. I need to know how to do it. I need to know the rules. I need, you know, he's saying, tell me the right way of doing it. And the Father doesn't give him a help manual. He says to Moses, my presence will go with you. And isn't that so wonderful that, you know, he doesn't get the help manual. He doesn't get Google with all the answers, but he gets the Father's presence. And God says to him, my my presence will go with you. You know, I will be with you. I'm the one who's coming with you, and I will teach you my ways on a daily basis because I'm walking with you. You see, I think Moses got something much, much more than he asked for. You know, he got the Father's presence. And it's exactly the same for us. You know, he comes with us. He lives with us. He's made his home in our hearts. And, you know, it's not, yes, we've got the Bible and we've got the scriptures, and they're so important to have those. But not only have we got his written word, but we've got him, his very presence with us. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 30, 31, God our Father promises to go with us every step of the way. He says we won't have to fight against our struggles on our own, but he will carry us in the same way as a father carries his children. And he promises to carry us all of the way. And I just think it's wonderful when Moses says to God, you know, yeah, I'll do it, but teach me what to do. And the Father says, my presence will go with you. And Moses says, oh, if your presence doesn't come with us, then we're not going anywhere. And I feel like, in a sense, the same cry in my own heart, you know, Father, I only want to go where you're going. Father, I want you to come with me every step of the way. Father, I want to put my life in your hands. Father, I want to trust you with my life. Father, I want to believe that you only have good plans for me. Father, I want to trust you to lead me. Father, I don't want to go if your presence, if you aren't coming with me. That is such a wonderful place to put ourselves, is to say, Father, I trust myself to your love. I trust myself to you. It's like that little child depending and relaxing and resting in his father's arms. You know, and as we grow in living in love, we don't have to struggle on our own. As we grow in being planted in love, and our roots go deeper and deeper in love, we become more dependent on our Father. We become more able to rest in his love and rest in his presence. And my encouragement for us this afternoon is that, you know, is for us to come to that place where we say, Father, I want to let my striving cease. Father, I want to let my effort cease. Father, I want to let the works of my own hand cease. And Father, I want to rest in your love. I want to allow myself to be planted in love. I want love to be the source of my life. One of the things I've discovered is that living in love is something that affects our hearts. It doesn't affect our minds. It's something that affects our hearts. And Romans 10 verse 10 says, it's with your heart you believe and are justified or saved. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And the thing that I've discovered is that my heart works at a slower speed than my mind. You know, our minds have this incredible capacity to absorb information and process information incredibly quickly. And we can, you know, we can take a lot in and we can think about it and we can react on it and we can decide what to do all in a split second. You know, our mind is an incredibly fast processor of information. But our heart is a lot slower. And, you know, when Paul writes, it's with your heart that you believe. You know, Romans 5, verse 5, he says, it's the Holy Spirit who pours the Father's love into your hearts. You know, our heart doesn't have the same processing capacity as our mind. And the thing that I've learned and am learning is that if we live in love, if we're going to let love be our motivating force, and if our roots are going down into love, then that's going to cause our whole life to slow down. And we're going to fall into a rhythm that is much more restful and much more peaceful, because it's a rhythm that comes from the energy of love rather than the energy of our minds and the processing of information. And I encourage you just to take time to let Father speak to you, to let Father pour his love into your heart, to let Father's love minister to you. You know, I don't believe it's something we can rush. I believe it's something that happens, and it's a work that goes on gently in our lives, but it brings tremendous fruit. It's not an instant answer, but it's a process of love working in us. And I encourage you to find time in your life, in your lives, to slow down and let the Father minister his love into the depths of your heart, because that really, really will change everything. And it will bring that fruit and that joy that I believe we yearn for so much. Let me just end with the verses from Lamentations again. Lamentations 3, 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. See, the guy was having a bad day, but then he remembers the great love of the Father. He remembers the endless, eternal, compassionate heart of God. And it causes him to do three things. It causes him to have hope. It causes him to seek. And it causes him to wait. And if you're facing the struggle today, and it's like that passage in Lamentations is describing what your life is looking like, I just encourage you to remember once again the great love of your Father, to remember that his compassion and his mercy is new every morning, and to once again renew your hope in him. See, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. And my encouragement is don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. And if you feel it slipping away from you, come back and say, Father, I want hope. Because faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. And if we're not hoping for anything, then we can't pull that into the present reality through faith. And so I would encourage you, don't lose hope. Hang on to hope. Secondly, I encourage you to seek. You know, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Keep seeking him. Earnestly pursue love. Keep asking him to fill you with love. Keep asking him to pour his love into your heart. Keep asking him. Keep desiring the transforming work of love in your heart. And finally, wait. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know, sometimes we get so busy that we want to give God a hand and we want to try and help him accomplish everything we think he should be doing. But sometimes he just says, wait. Wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And, you know, my encouragement to each one of us today is don't lose hope. Keep seeking and wait quietly. And as you do, your Father will fill you with his love. And that will be the transforming work of grace in your life that will change everything and give you the fruitful life that you desire and cause you to have a much more joyful walk with him. Living in love is not a formula, but it's a relationship. And so, Father, I just ask you to come to each one of us now. Father, right around the world, would you just come to each person and just pour your love into our hearts once again? Father, we want to be like the writer of the Lamentations, that we put our hope in you, that we seek you and we wait for you. And we recognize again, we call it to mind. We remember your great love and your great compassion for us. That your mercies are new every morning, that your faithfulness never ends. And so, Father, we receive that this afternoon. We receive that impartation of your love into our hearts. That you truly would continue to transform us with the power of your love. Father, we reach out to you. We reach out to you and we simply ask you to plant us deeper and deeper in your love. That your love would become the very source of our life. That, Father, even just in these moments as we sit in your presence, you would cause the roots of our life to go deeper and deeper and deeper into your love. And as our roots go down, Father, they would drink the source of life. They would drink love. So, Father, we thank you. And we just ask you once again to pour your love into your sons and daughters' hearts. In Jesus' name.